Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus is coming. That's really what the word Advent means, what this season of the church year is all about. Jesus is coming, so get ready. During these days and weeks before Christmas, we're busy with all kinds of preparations for Christmas celebrations. Busy preparing, perhaps, for people, for guests who will be coming over to our house. We're busy buying gifts for people on our list, preparing many things to celebrate this joyous festival. Around the house, children are caught up in the excitement. In our minds, we have perhaps a mental checklist of all the different things that we need to get done. That's really the important question for us to ask ourselves during this church year season of Advent, and especially when we hear this message of John the Baptist and the message that Jesus is coming again. The question of how should we get ready for him? What should we do? John the Baptist answers that question with a single sentence: live a life of true repentance and faith. As we read those words of the gospel, were you thinking to yourself how shocking those words must have sounded to the people that John was preaching to in that crowd? He said, "You offspring of vipers, who warned you to flee the coming wrath?" The promised Messiah was about to appear. John, just like the prophets of God in the Old Testament, warned that the day of the Lord was a day full of God's wrath and judgment and punishment on sin. John told the people that God, Jesus, when he comes, will gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. The day of Jesus' coming is a day of separation, of division. The godly will be separated from the ungodly, just like a farmer separates the wheat, the good part of the grain, from the chaff, the stalk or the little pieces of grass that are not worth eating, and then burns them up. John also says, every tree that does not produce good fruit is going to be cut down and thrown into the fire. Every tree, he says, that does not produce good fruit. No one, no matter how respectable or how famous they might be, whether good or bad, no one will escape that final judgment. The people who heard John preaching that day, some of them at least, believed that they could count on the fact that they would escape from God's judgment because they were descendants of Abraham, who was God's chosen forefather of the Jewish people, of the Israelite nation. But John told them that biological fact alone would not be able to save them from the coming judgment. He said, "I tell you that God is able to raise up children for Abraham from these stones." We also should not deceive ourselves into thinking that there is nothing for us to be concerned about, since we are members of the church. Being baptized, confirmed, even being active in the work of the church is not a substitute for true repentance and faith. John warns, every tree that does not produce good fruit is going to be cut down and thrown into the fire. John said, even now, the axe is ready to strike the root of the trees. That instrument for carrying out God's judgment is already prepared, ready for whenever God gives the command for the last day of the world to come. Jesus tells us that his second coming is much closer than we often think about or than we might like to believe. 9 more days until Christmas. Those words remind us that the time that we have left to prepare is running shorter with every minute. And so we must act now to get things ready. Well, that's what the message of John the Baptist tells us today, but about something far more important than just Christmas parties or guests coming for dinner. John says, "Get ready now. It's urgent." "What shall we do?" the people asked. "Repent." With that word, John the Baptist answers our question. The repentance that John calls for is not simply just some formal religious ritual that we have to go through, nor is repentance just a kind of polite apology to God, nor is repentance simply agreeing theoretically with the fact that, yes, we are all sinful people. Rather, true repentance can be described as contrition or sorrow in our heart because of our sins. Contrition means that our conscience is troubled because we know that we have sinned against God and we have brought sadness to his heart of love by our actions or words or thoughts that have gone against God's will. True repentance will also cause us to want to do what God commands. John the Baptist was not simply telling the people that they needed to change some of their outward behavior. Rather, John speaks of producing fruit in keeping with repentance. Good works follow true repentance. And so what is needed is a change of heart. Jesus himself said, "Every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit." We can tell what kind of tree it is just by looking at the fruit that the tree produces. You don't expect to pick apples from an orange tree or vice versa. You cannot expect the fruit of repentance to be present in a person's life unless the person's heart itself has been changed by the gospel. When the person's heart has been changed, then there will also be a corresponding change in that person's life. "What should we do then?" asked the crowds after listening to the preaching of John. Well, John described for them the fruit of true repentance in terms of the ordinary outward life circumstances of the individuals who were there in that crowd. First of all, he said to everyone, "Whoever has two shirts should share with a person who has none, and whoever has food should do the same." And then specifically to the tax collectors who were there, he said, "Collect no more than what you were authorized to." And to the soldiers in the crowd, he said, "Do not extort money from anyone by force or false accusation. Be satisfied with your wages." So we see that the fruits of repentance are seen in our everyday lives. In the Small Catechism, Martin Luther described it this way when he was instructing the people about how to confess their sins, how to think about what sins they have committed against God. He advised that we should consider our place in life according to the Ten Commandments. Have you been disobedient, unfaithful, or lazy? Have you hurt another person by word or deed? Have you stolen, neglected, or wasted anything? Kindness towards others, consideration of our family, obedience to those in authority over us, honesty in dealing with others, faithfulness in meeting our obligations and our responsibilities. These are the fruit of repentance, the fruit of a heart that has been changed by God's love and forgiveness. God demands that our hearts be changed, but that's not something that we can do for ourselves. John the Baptist announced the good news to the people. He told them that someone mightier than I is coming. Even John the Baptist himself, whom Jesus called the greatest preacher who had ever lived up until that time, even he could not change people's hearts. But God tells us through his prophet Ezekiel in the Old Testament, chapter 11, "I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Then they will follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. They will be my people, and I will be their God." John the Baptist pointed to that mightier one, to Jesus. He he said about Jesus, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. He will give a new heart. If our sins trouble us, if we fear the judgment of God because of our sins, that really is evidence that God has already begun working that good work of repentance in our hearts. And so our prayer for a new heart will be answered. John told the people, God is able to raise up children for Abraham from these stones. God is able. And God wants to give us a new heart, a heart of flesh, in place of our hard, stony hearts of unrepentance. The mercy that we need in order to stand before God on Judgment Day has already been given to us. Jesus came to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. In order to be accepted by God, we must be righteous, which means that we must be holy, perfectly obeying all of God's commandments. But we could never achieve that on our own. So God, in his mercy, has done what we could not do. In Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul tells us, what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us. We have not obeyed God's commandments, but our Lord Jesus has taken our place and fulfilled the whole law of God for us. And he offered that obedience to God in our place. That is the good news that John preached. Jesus himself is our righteousness in the sight of God. The wrath of God that threatened us because of our sins has all been laid upon Jesus. Jesus died in our place. Jesus died under God's wrath for you and for me. The Apostle Paul also tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. How good it is to hear this good news. Jesus came to rescue us from God's wrath. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. John preached this good news to the people. That is the same good news that we are hearing again this morning. It's good news that sometimes seems too good to be true. It's not always easy for us to believe, especially when the devil tempts us and convicts us and accuses us and makes us feel guilty as if we could never be forgiven by God. But it is true. And that is how we are ready for Jesus' second coming. Believe in these promises of God. That is the reason that God continues to have the good news preached to us. As we listen this morning, God is offering you his Holy Spirit to assure you that this good news is true, that it is for you. Because that good news can be so difficult for us to believe, our Lord Jesus has also given us the holy sacrament of his true body and blood. Listen carefully this morning as you hear the words after the dismissal of the bread and wine and the body and blood in the Lord's Supper. May this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and keep you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Think about that. Jesus has given his own body and blood into death and to us in the sacrament so that our faith in his forgiveness might be strengthened. He assures us through that sacrament that our sins are forgiven. Jesus is coming again, and he will judge the living and the dead. That might be a frightening concept for those who are not ready, but that truth, those words are good news for us who know God's message of forgiveness. Yes, our conscience might still accuse and frighten us, but we do not need to fear the return of Jesus. He died for us so that we would have forgiveness and life. He is coming again. That is good news for all who believe. And so get ready for his coming. Repent and believe this good news. Amen.